All right, let's get started. Thank you so much for helping. You're really fast. So first of all, welcome to the session. Thank you for staying late for trying to understand more about media services. So this session is about Microsoft Azure Media Services. And my name is Ming Fei, and I work in Azure Media Services as a program manager. So in this session that today we have a lot to go through, that first of all, I want you guys to get a general idea of, you know, what media Azure Media Services is about, some of the architecture and features. And we will split the session into two parts. So first part, we'll be talking about video on demand service. So what are some of the basic media workflow you can do with Azure Media Services? And we'll be talking about a really cool feature called dynamic packaging. And we will hear something new in secure delivery. If you have media content that you want to secure, how do you do that with our service? And then the second part of the presentation is also interesting about live streaming. You know, how does it work? How does live streaming works in the cloud? Okay? And I would say this session is a 300-level session, so I would expect you to have a little bit of knowledge about media technology. But even if you don't, it's okay. We will start from the basic, and then we will go to talk about more advanced stuff, okay? So before talking about Azure Media Services, there's something I always enjoy to talk a little bit more is where we get to where online video gets where we are today, okay? So if you look at how online video progressed, it actually falls into a pretty short timeline, only 15 years. So the very first major broadcast event happens in 1999, and that was one of the cool fashion show. I don't know, any of you guys watched this in 1999? I believe the quality is dramatically different from what you see this year. So I believe the show is already on 4K this year. So the quality is really low at that time. It created a lot of hype, but not actually many people see it. So fast forward to 2004, that was the election year that both parties started to use video to generate support for themselves. And the online viewers started to get measurable. And it's similar to a mid-sized TV station, the amount of people watch the video content. 2007, definitely a milestone. Netflix launched website that you start to see premium content hits the web. And 2008, another interesting event, Beijing Olympic, the very first major live streaming event with thousands of hours and millions of viewers. So that was really the first time that the online streaming business started to challenge the traditional TV. We can do it the right way too. And 2008, the same year, Hulu brought a TV drama on demand service. So it's become a mind shift that, you know, if you couldn't watch your favorite show on weekends, you can just catch the show. If you couldn't watch your favorite show on weekdays, you can do it on weekends. So the quality also gets dramatically better over years. And similarly, that all the cable companies started to provide online streaming service, I believe a lot of you guys use these days. And 2012, another milestone that this London Olympic is the very first live streaming event that delivered in the cloud. Of course, the backend is Azure Media Services, and with hours of live coverage and millions of viewers. And there is an important trend that we discovered 2 years ago. It's about the mobile traffic. The mobile traffic starts to pick up in this event. The interaction that, you know, those devices, gadgets could bring is far beyond what traditional TV can offer. I can tweet about my favorite star, you know. If someone gets a goal, I can shout it out on social media. So it's really about, you know, the live streaming could really reach out to so many gadgets and devices to have the interaction with the fans. And if you look at this year, actually last year, that the sales of connected TV and streaming gadgets combined are almost the same as traditional TV. And that was where the traditional TV industry gets really challenged by the new online media business. Internet video traffic has taken up more than 60% of the internet traffic. It's not only about entertainment. If you look at what business do these days, how we, like as a Microsoft employee, we learn training stuff through internal video portal. Look at school when they do remote study education through lecture videos. So pretty much video format become the format that people describe our life these days. And looking into the future, we definitely see this industry growing into a much larger scale and with tons of more opportunities, but always along with opportunity is the challenge that you're going to face. Because everyone wants to deliver high quality video for any device, anywhere, anytime. But how do you, you know, think about the infrastructure cost? How do you monetize your content if you purchase content from somewhere else? And especially security, DRM, how do you make sure people don't steal your content and put up somewhere else? Therefore, we felt that you probably need a more agile and cost-effective and scalable service to handle your media streaming backend. And that's why we Microsoft Azure Media Services was born, because of the demand from the market I was talking about. So what is Microsoft Azure Media Services? So we are built on top of Microsoft Azure platform that we utilize the platform capabilities such as storage and also compute. And we are a platform as a service that we allows you to interact with our service programmatically through REST API, that we offer all these building blocks are each individual service that you can use either of them or you can use them as a workflow, starting from bringing your media into the cloud, transcode it into certain format you want, package it or put in content protection and make it available for streaming. So we provide video on demand service as well as live streaming service. Okay? And there is one thing we always know that, you know, media business needs high availability, high redundancy, and we don't want you to worry about that. We take care of that for you. So you just need to use the API and the service just works. And we have some built-on media partner and customers such as Azure Portal that, you know, because they build on top of us that you can just click a few buttons. Later I will show you guys in the demo and the encoding is done. And we will make sure that the stream works with CDN, that you can either use Azure CDN or third-party CDN that you can deliver the stream from the edge. That's very important for media business. And lastly, we offer a spectrum of player SDK so that you can quickly build up a media application for your user to consume your media content. So all these SDK are free to use as well. So if we would take a deeper look at video on demand service, how a typical media flow, a workflow works on Azure Media Services. So first of all, ingest your content. You got to give us the content first so that we can do something upon it. And when you ingest your content to us, we are going to save it to Azure Blob storage in the virtual format of assets. And we have, because we understand ingesting a large amount of mezzanine assets is never a trivial job, so we provide different options. First of all, we pre-encrypt the file before uploading with AES 256, so the integrity of the file does not get jeopardized. And we also provide free secure HTTPS upload for your file. And if you think that's too slow, you can choose our partner Aspera that in the store to enable UDP upload. So you can install a little UDP client on your laptop and then fast UDP upload into the data center. And once that's done, if you want to do some encoding, you can use our service. That you run some API that we will spin off an encoder to encode content for you. And once that's done, we put it back into Azure Blob. So if you have many encoding jobs running in the cloud that you may expect to wait, right, in the queue, or waiting behind some other customer's encoder, what if I don't want to do that? So we give you the option, something called encoding reserve unit. Basically, you could reserve to have your own encoding box. So let's say if I have 10 reserve encoding units that I can run 10 encoding jobs in parallel at the same time. So it's very useful that if you have a large library, you want to get it done within 3 days, just spin off many encoding units that your job gets done in parallel. And in terms of the functionality that we support encoding into major standards like H.264, VC1, LDU2 like DD+, WMV, and also we package your content to MP4, smooth streaming, and HLS. And also for encryption, if you want to do play-ready encryption, common encryption, you can do that with our encoder as well. So there is always a question that, how about the license, right? Like if I do that format, do I still need to pay license? The answer is no. You pay us that we handle all the license for you. So in that case, that you are definitely get a cheaper price, then you just go and purchase on your own, right? So, and last part is really once the content is ready, the last part is to make it available for streaming. And similarly, we provide similar model that you can either share the streaming server with other customer, or you want to say, I want my own streaming box. And you can do that as well in reserve the model. And we give you guaranteed bandwidth. You can say that I want 200 megabytes per second throughput from your media server, and we guarantee that. And we handle the auto recovery, redundancy, and failover for you. You just ask for 200 megabytes per second, and we will have enough box behind the scene to actually handle the workload for you. Okay, and in terms of pricing and SLA, that since I talk about encoding service, and if you look at the, we have most of the customer right now, they choose reserve the encoding service that is charged at $99 per month, but prorated on daily basis. So if you have one reserve unit for a day, you just pay $3 and you shut it down after. There's no upfront commitment. And other than that, if you don't have a tight timeline, you can just do a shared model starting from 1.99 per gigabyte encoding, and it's a tiered price. The further you go, the cheaper you get. And also for streaming service, similarly that you can do a shared model, and also for reserve the model that $1.99 per month, but also prorated on the daily basis that you have an event coming up running for 7 days, you can just shut it down after and you pay probably less than $50 for that. Okay? And let me show you guys a demo to visualize the workflow I just talked about, okay? Wait, what did I do? All right, so I believe some of you guys have seen this portal that built on top of us. So here is where you can create a media services account by giving a name, and also for region. So currently we are available in 8 regions in the world, including Japan East and Japan West, which we just lined up like a few weeks ago. And also you can link a storage account with your media services account to store your video libraries. So I'm not going to go through that. Instead, I will choose one of the accounts, which I'm currently using. And when I click on the content tab, that was where all your video gets stored. And we will show you that in this web page. And I could upload a video from local disk that I'm just going to choose one quickly and click on OK. So right now, there is a limitation in the portal for only upload 200 megabytes, but you can definitely upload a larger file using API. So right now, the file should be in the system. Yeah, so I have uploaded from local disk, and I can kick off an encoding job. So there are a bunch of encoding presets the portal give to you, such as we can choose, let's say, H.264 multi-bit rate MP4. And let's just give you a name and click on OK. So right now, really simple, one click that the encoding job kickstarts. And if we look at the job tab, you can actually monitor how the encoding task is running. And you can see there is the task has been scheduled. And if you are queuing behind another job, you will be queued. And the progress will show on the progress bar. And there are two more things I want to highlight in this portal. Firstly is how do I scale the encoding reserve unit? It's actually in the encoding tab that you can, if I put a slider, that at 25 now, which means I have 25 encoding box can run encoding job on parallel. And of course, the system will start charging you as well. And also for the origin, similarly that I could go in and scale my origin, which is my media server, and says that, hey, you know, I know my content are going to be popular. Give me 600 megabytes guaranteed bandwidth. And once you do this and click on save, and we are going to make sure that you get that bandwidth. Therefore, it's really, really easy and simple for you to scale your service. And we are not going to wait for this encoding job to finish, but later we'll be using another demo to go through this. Okay, so I introduced to you guys the portal to just do some simple functionality. And there are actually a lot more APIs and SDKs in terms of functionalities that you can realize through them. And you can see we have REST, we provide .NET SDK, PHP, which is something we just released, and also Java library, PowerShell commandlets to actually manage media services, account creation, you know, all this edit and also scale up and scale down, and also Node.js library as well. So you could access to the service through SDKs. And there's one feature I want to talk about, which I think is the most attractive feature we had so far, is something called dynamic packaging. Before talking about dynamic packaging, we have to see how the traditional packaging is done, that when you have a media source, that what usually people do is they encode into multi-bitrate MP4, which is one of the standard. And then if you want to do streaming, you have to package your content and store them into HLS, which is the streaming format for iOS devices, and also smooth streaming, the default streaming format for all the PC-based devices. And then you stream out through Origin server. Okay, that's the traditional way of doing things. And we come up with a really cool feature called dynamic packaging that pretty much you do the same at the beginning, that you still have to do encoding to make sure that you go to a standard format called multi-bitrate MP4. And after that, the interesting part is you are done. You don't have to package your content into different streaming formats. Our origin server will take your source file and dynamically package the content into multiple different adaptive streaming formats and goes to different devices. So if you look at these two graphs, what's the significant advantage for dynamic packaging? There are two. So the first point is, if you look at a file, it's actually getting stored three times. You have to store different adaptive streaming format multiple times in order to deal with different devices, versus for dynamic packaging, you just do it once, store it once, and our origin server will do the magic to dynamically package the content. It really saves you a lot of storage costs. And storage costs is the major cost for a lot of media business. It's a huge amount of saving. And the second point is you actually save the time to package the content, which may not be that many in terms of pricing compared to storage, but that's definitely another process saving. And in terms of input format, that we, as long as you encode your file into multi-bitrate MP4 or smooth streaming, we'll take that. And we support output format as smooth streaming, HLS, V3 for all iOS devices, V3 for Android devices, and also MPEG-DASH, which is one of the streaming standard. If you don't know MPEG-DASH, I do suggest you to do some search after the session. It's a new standard that just coming out this year for adaptive streaming. And the catch is you need to have at least one reserved streaming unit to enable dynamic packaging. So if you guys try the demo afterwards and it doesn't work, and remember this line, a lot of people tend to forget. And so I will show you guys a demo to see how does this works. And we will be using .NET SDK, so you will see some code here, but really simple. So I'm currently building a console app to achieve this functionality that we are going to connect to media services account. And we will query the multi-bitrate MP4 that we just encoded. Remember that I have a demo MP4 here. And instead of doing packaging, I'm just going to publish the assets for so that you will get a URL to play back the content. And then we will just ask for different formats from the URL without doing repackaging. And I will just show you guys how does that work through API. So first of all, you will be using a library reference that if I search on Windows Azure.media services, you will be having two library here. One is the .NET SDK, and the other one is called .NET SDK extension, which I always suggest you to use .NET SDK extension. It provides higher level API, so you can finish the whole encoding process within 10 lines of code, which versus .NET SDK, you probably need to write a lot more, but you have a lot more flexibility. So I didn't, I already loaded those things. That first of all, we are going to make a connection to, we will get the account key, which you could obtain from the portal. That if you look at portal under the dashboard, there is a manage key, and that was where you get your account name and account key, and so that you can get access to the service. And then we will make a connection through something called Cloud Media Contacts. So this object that once you pass in the right credential, you will be able to use all the functionality through this object. And then what we are going to do is really simple, that we are going to have a query that among all the assets inside of my media services, give me this asset called demo MP4. It may not be a good idea to query by name, to just simplify the demo that I'm going to query by name. And after that, instead of doing anything, we're just going to publish the assets. So what do I mean by publish is really asking for a locator that our media server will have a mapping to the storage, the video file in the storage, and it will publish to the outside, that the URL will just start sending bits to your player. So that's the part that what do I mean by create locator. And you could actually set a access permission. You know, I only want people to read, and also time span, how long you want the video to be available. Let's say you only have the contract with the studio for a year, then you wouldn't want to put the time span longer than a year. And lastly is the easiest part, which is grabbing the URL. So that's really something cool for this extension, that it gives you the methods to say, get me the smooth streaming URI, get me the HLS, and also MPadash, which is just a small tweaking on the locator that you were asking just now, which is this one, which I will show you guys when I run this program. These three URI are really, really similar. It's just a format change, but it's actually based on the same file in the storage. So if I run this little program, what would happen, it's, so I'm getting the assets, and I'm publishing the assets, and I'm getting three URL here. So if you pay attention, that you can see there's a really similar part at the beginning, which is the GUI, that mapped to a specific video in the storage. That's the file that I just encoded. And the different part lies into the URL here, which the first one represents a smooth streaming file that I'm asking. And the second one represents a Apple HLS file that I'm asking. And the last one is the MPadash streaming file that I'm asking the server. So based on your ask, the server will package the file on the fly and serve out different formats. So if I would show you guys how that works, is so here is a little demo project that we did that queries the account that we are having in the portal. And if I click on... Neon Cat watch Neon Cat. So actually, I chose this video for a reason, that I think by now, this video has been on live for 3 years, that it has more than 100 million views. And if you think that's insane, there is actually a 10 minutes long version that has more than 3 million views. So I believe most of you guys have contributed to that. So that really shows that how fantastic this video industry could go, right? It's just a boring cat video. So the important part is not the video, but the URL that you can see right now. This is the URL that we just produced, and it's showing smooth streaming in the Flash player. And if I switch to MPadash, that same file start to play, And I'm going to stop this music. And you can see that the format's just a format file change, but the server sent out dash bits. And if I switch to, I'll just switch to my iOS quickly. So if we look at iOS, which I will be opening the same website. You guys see all my apps. Okay, let me just query this website. And then I could play this demo MP4. So here, the browser detect that I'm using an iPhone, and it will serve me a HLS V4 on my iPhone. And you can see that the, is it playing right now? Okay, yeah. So the video is actually playing from my iPhone. And similarly, that if I open Android phone, let's see whether this one works. So I think this is the same website that click and go. And this is a, so this is a HLS V3 that gets played on Android phone. So we just added V3 support, I think 2 weeks ago from the server, which because a majority of the Android version only take a version 3 of HLS. So if you deliver HLS streaming, you know how painful that is because of the fragmentation that they actually have different, they actually take different kinds of stream. Okay, let's come back to the slide. So I hope you guys enjoyed the demo that the cat is running, and you guys had some idea about, you know, why I want to introduce the feature to you. And I leave with you guys some of the articles that you can follow later to catch on the code which I presented. And let's move on. Secure your media. What option do you have with media services? So before talking about how, we want to ask ourselves why. Why do I care, right? So if your business falls into the following four category, I would think it's the time for you to consider to secure your media content. So first two category are if you deliver high premium content. So it could be a Netflix type of business. You only authorize the movie viewing for people who pay a subscription fee. Or a Sony Cricco type of business, which they don't care who you are. As long as you use their player, they actually get the money from the advertisement that they embedded in the player. So for this type of business, that because they serve high premium content, that piracy is one biggest thing that they need to make sure that it doesn't happen. If Game of Thrones that gets leaked onto BitTorrent, which it does, that it actually direct impact the revenue from all those studios when they produce movie. And also preventing man-in-the-middle attack, which means someone try to eavesdrop on the communication and grab the media. And the second and the third category is what I call enterprise. That, for instance, as Microsoft employee, we watch a lot of training video, and we wouldn't want those videos to go all over the web. So, however, the piracy may not be a big concern because the resale value of a, say, office sales video may not be as high as INN. So, but of course, you would say that you love those videos. And the last category is live events that we all know is time-sensitive event, right? When the score is out, probably you don't even care about the game. So in that case, sometimes piracy is a big not a big concern for them, but rather they still want to prevent man-in-the-middle attack, that someone eavesdrop on the communication, grab the information ahead of time. So I would say if you fall into the following four categories that you may think about to secure your content, and we do have different options for you. So we will visit back to this slide later to see what solutions are tailored for different categories of customers. So options with media services now. There are two options. They are all very new that we are currently still baking in the system. None of them are public preview, but I will show you guys some of the demo of how it works. So the first one is called AES Clear Key Dynamic Encryption. And the second one is called DRM technology. DRM stands for Digital Rights Management Technology. So what's the key difference? Both of them allow you to deliver your content from the media server to the player with a clear channel, HTTP clear channel. But all the video bits gets delivered are encrypted with AES 128. So if someone tried to listen to the traffic and, you know, get what you're playing, they wouldn't be able to do so because the data is encrypted. So we are preventing man-in-the-middle attack. So what's the key difference of these two technology? It's really about the key. So for AES clear key dynamic encryption, the reason it is called clear key is because you got to trust the client. The key is actually stored in clear format on the player. So if they decide to pass the key around, they could do that. And versus DRM technology, the key is also encrypted in the player, and the decryption of the content happens in a very secure DRM environment. So neither the key or the content gets exposed. And therefore, DRM is the ultimate solution to prevent piracy, that no one can abstract a clear stream from the laptop and put up somewhere else. And the second key difference is DRM technology is really designed for media specifically, so it offers a more comprehensive licensing agreement that you could define for your media business, such as if you watch Xbox video, I think you have like 48 hours when you purchase a video, you have to finish watching it, otherwise you can no longer watch the video. Or you could even define as specific as if I'm loading a video on my laptop, if I don't have the rights to project, if I plug in a HDMI, the video not get to project it on a projector. So that's also the thing that you can define in licensing agreement. And in a summary, that AES that use encrypted content with AES bitrate encryption, that we also provide a key delivery service that if your player need to grab the AES key to decrypt the content, we give you the key delivery service. And it prevents unauthorized access because we enable something called token authentication that you could build in that, you know, when people try to retrieve the key, unless they provide you the right token, you wouldn't give them the key. So that's the key service that we provide. And one important thing about AES is you got to trust your client, that because they could either get a clear content from their laptop when they decrypt their content or the key, they could actually pass that around. But AES prevents man-in-the-middle attack, which means if someone eavesdrop on the communication, they wouldn't be able to understand. And as an employee, Microsoft employee, that we are bounded by the employee agreement that now to pass the training video around. So in that case, we are considered a trusted client. And that's why AES is sort of a good solution for enterprise in that sense. And versus for DRM is really, best practice for all the media business, especially high premium content, that it gives them additional rights management capability to control how viewers can view your content. And also, the content is encrypted in the transmission as well, as I talked about. And both of them can deliver through CDN without a problem because the protocol is HTTP. We support multiple formats outputs such as smooth streaming, HLS, and Dash. Okay, and if we would take a closer look at AES, how that works is which you have the video file, and you need to encode into multi-bitrate MP4 again. And instead of just serving out for dynamic packaging with multiple formats, you got to define the following and say, you know, I want to deliver my assets through dynamic encryption, and I give you the content key, encrypt my content. And also, there's something important called content key authorization policy, which I can define how do I authorize the key to your player. You can do token authentication. You can do IP. If your user falls into the following IP range, give him the key. Or open, which means everyone can get the key and play back the content. And after you define all this, our origin server will be smart enough to deliver AES encrypted HLS stream and also AES encrypted smooth streaming stream to all the players. And once the player gets the content, it's encrypted bits, right? The player needs to get a key to play back the content. So what does the player do? Here is the important part, that usually, for instance, a enterprise, that you will probably have some AD in place to authenticate your employee. And after you authenticate your employee, you're going to give them a token, which you already pre-configured with us. We know how to verify that token. And then the employee with that player will go ahead and request key from our key server with that token that you just issued to them through HTTPS. And once we verify the token, we say, oh, the token is correct. And then we'll return a key to the player. And here, if you look at the communication, the key exchange is over HTTPS, which is SSL, that the key will now be exposed through the communication channel. And after that, the player will get a key and play it back. Are you guys with me so far? It's not that straightforward to understand. And I would say the most difficult part always falls into the customer authentication system integration, because I believe some of your system use token as well, which is, let's say I log in with AD, and it return me an AD token. And you have to resign that token with the secret that you provide to us to another new token that you provide to us so that we can understand that, to verify that token. So the integration part is always difficult because different company, different system have different authentication system. And if I would quickly summarize AES Clear Key Service, from the service perspective, that we enable that through dynamic encryption feature. And one limitation, that we only support simple web token for now, but we are adding more popular token service such as JWT, you know, those popular ones in the future. And in terms of client, that we will be shipping a Windows 8 cache plugin to decrypt AES encrypted smooth streaming content, and also an iOS SDK sample to decrypt AES encrypted HLS stream. iOS SDK natively support the decryption of AES encrypted HLS stream, so there is no extra work you need to do. And also Flash OSMF plugin to decrypt AES encrypted smooth streaming. So let me show you guys a quick demo on how that works. So I have a, let me open this.
Why don't you just admit that you're freaked out by my robot hand?
My screen. Oh, sorry. I did not plug in here. You guys only hear the sound. Okay, let's try this again. Plug out this again. Oh, okay. So here is a Flash player that playback content which I encrypted using AES. So I'm not going to show you guys the API to do this, but instead we can take a look at this manifest and see why this is encrypted content gets played. So if I just paste this manifest here, click on open. So this is like a more friendly version of the media that we just played. And you can see there are video fragments and there are audio fragments. And the most important part to show that this is encrypted is the protection header. So once the header is there, it actually shows the encryption information that we carry. And one thing I want you guys to pay attention is this key URI template, which give you a URL to tell the client where to grab the key. So if we look at this URL here, and we paste it in the browser, it actually sends a HTTPS request to the key server with the key ID to say that, hey, give me the key. And because I set the authorization policy as open, which is not the best practice because you want to secure the content, how come everyone can get the key? But to just simplify this demo, but in real case, you will be supplying a token at this moment. Only if you supply the right token, the person can get the key. So that's sort of how you secure the key. And the key exchange is happen HTTPS, and you can see it's encrypted that not everyone can understand the key. So once the player gets the key and they can decrypt the content, and that's a playback that I was showing for a encrypted content. But of course, I didn't go through the part on the server to configure all this. There are a lot more APIs there involved. Okay, and let's move on to the second option, which is PlayReady. So I talk about DRM technology. So there are actually many vendors have DRM technology. PlayReady is only one of them. And there are like Google Whitewine, there are Marlin, which are different DRM technology. And we chose to host PlayReady service the first because, of course, it's Microsoft technology. And also, it has established the widest ecosystem. It has the most business using it to protect their content. And this is a really simple graph here to give you a general idea of how PlayReady works in the system right now. The key difference is you have to pre-encrypt the PlayReady file here. We do not have dynamic encryption for PlayReady. And after that, our origin media server can surf out PlayReady protected smooth streaming, HLS, and Dash with various clients that PlayReady supports. And similarly, that you do token authentication on the license, and then we supply PlayReady license back. So I'm not going to go deep into PlayReady because it totally deserves another session on its own. But I leave with you guys some information that if you want to read after, you know, how to do PlayReady service, how to do AES, you can read about the article. And as I mentioned, we are sort of still baking the service. But if you're really interested in trying it out and help us validate our service, which will be available shortly, you can send us an email to mediaservicespreview@microsoft.com to actually tell us your usage, and we will, we'll triage the request, and we will, you know, work with you to see how to improve our service. And that when we come back to the slide that I was talking about earlier, I would say it's a pretty clear conclusion that if you really want to prevent piracy, DRM is always in the agreement that you sign with the studio when you purchase the content. You just have to use that. However, for enterprise, if piracy is not a major issue, I would say AES sometimes is a good solution for enterprise video or ad founder, you know, those time-sensitive events. But of course, if you say my content is just really business secret, you can do DRM for your content as well. And one of the examples that you guys probably heard, I think there was a session on Monday, that Office team announced a video portal inside Office 365. And they have this video portal allows the enterprise employee to share their knowledge within the company after AD login. And the entire business is built on top of Azure Media Services for video streaming. And all the video are AES encrypted, which using the service I just talked about. And another example I want to show you guys is Blinkbox, which is, they are a Netflix of UK, that they are a OTT provider that provides premium content on the web. And all their media are currently on Azure Media Services, and a lot of premium content are encrypted with PlayReady. And you can see there are some video for rental. And I'm not going to play this one, which let's see whether we have a... Okay, maybe this one is a better example. That you can see it's loading and getting licensed, the PlayReady license, and then the video just gets play, which, and you can see that this is premium content. Which play on the devices. And all the video streaming are going through media services as well. So I think that's another example that I want to show you guys to sort of summarize my video on demand service introduction. And I hope you guys get some idea of what we do on video on demand service. And we'll quickly move on to live streaming, which we are going to do live streaming within the next 10 minutes. You may think that's hard, but it's actually really simple than you think. Or we made the service pretty simple. So we offer, allows you to stream live content through public cloud, and we give you multiple formats output, smooth streaming, HLS, and Dash. And we have global reach that the service will be available all over the globe through all the data center, and which I think live event is really a best use case for the cloud, because live event could go viral, you know, like you don't have to purchase thousands of servers to just make one event successful, instead of using the cloud, you can tear down without any cost. And also, currently the service is in private preview again but more than 70 customers. Usually, whoever asks us, we will give them access for live streaming feature. The reason we did not make it public is because the support effort for live streaming is way higher than video on demand. If there's something goes wrong with your live streaming, we need to have enough people or enough monitoring in place to make sure that you can self-healing, right? Otherwise, video on demand, if your encoding gets stuck, you probably are not in a 100% rush, but live streaming is just different. And that's why you can actually apply via the link I provided to get access to live streaming feature. And let's talk about how does that work. So first of all, there's a concept called channel which you can create. And you can think channel as a VM in the cloud. And we'll give you an ingest URL, which allows you to push live stream to us. And currently, we only take input format as smooth streaming. So you have to have some encoder running on premises. So we are working on support live encoding as well, which you just send us raw stream. We are going to encode it in the cloud and make it available. But for now, it's only live streaming. So let's say you have a camera. You encoded the content into smooth streaming, and you push to us through ingest URL. And what we do is we will forward the stream from the ingest module into preview module. So what does the preview module offers, which is a way for you to inspect your stream. Is there something going wrong? Can I switch to another URL? So that's the ingest URL's usage. And also for a voiceover, like say if that's a football game, a commander wants to leave a commentary, they can watch the stream, the preview URL and give the comments, and it goes back to the encoding, the ingest URL, and then it goes down to the something called program, which that was where your stream gets persist. So for preview, whatever running through are not getting stored, but for preview, it allows you to give a DVR for your user, which means if I set my DVR as 1 hour, my user can watch 1 hour content up to the live point. So they can actually backtrack what's going on before the live position. And after that, when the program URL is something that you're going to embed in your player so people can watch the live stream. Okay? And after that, once the event is over, you could actually, the live stream will be right into blob storage and persist as a video on demand video clip. And the URL is going to be the same, which I will show you guys in the demo, that it's really a seamless transition after your live event is over. The content will be available as video on demand immediately through the same web page and same URL. So let's quickly see how does that work. Let me plug in my audio. Okay, five, sorry. So let me show you guys the portal first. So if you are granted a live streaming preview, that you will be seeing a tab called Channels. And currently, I have two channels running, and which I'm going to use one of them. So you can see that I'm given an ingest URL to ingest my content, and also a preview URL to sort of preview my stream, and lastly, a publish URL, which is the program URL that I was talking about, that you have a DVR and the data is persisted. So now, if I take the ingest URL, and I'm running on the software on-premises, which is especially encoder, but you can run any encoding software that on laptop, as long as the output is smooth streaming. That's the format we take. And you just put this URL into the, which I already put it here, which is the publishing point. And we can make a connection to see whether the service is up or not. So hopefully it turns green in a second. And do not crash on me, please. Okay, good. So right now it's connecting, it shows me a green, and we are going to click on start. So right now what happened is I'm pushing in the stream into the cloud. So, okay, let me adjust the angle a little bit. Okay. And so the stream now, right now, is going into the channel, and I'm going to grab this preview URL, and I want to take a look how the stream looks like. So I'm opening a tool that we developed called Health Monitor that playbacks smooth streaming content with some debugging information. So actually, this is the demo that, okay, I think I still have some bits that I was trying before the session, so you will get flushed out fairly quickly. Let me try this again. I don't think this is the live stream yet. Okay, let me try why this is getting cached. Let me grab this preview URL. Okay, what we can do right now is let's try to persist the stream so that we see maybe my stream is getting cached somewhere, because I need to be honest with you, even though it looks like who am I right now, but I think that's the stream that I recorded before the session for testing. So what's going on right now is I'm actually creating a program to persist the channel, persist the stream, which I am encoding here. So we will see what's going on. And it actually gives me a publish URL. And this is also a smooth streaming URL that I could be able to, let me try again, to actually play here. And it probably takes about 20 seconds in terms of the latency, because it goes into the cloud and is safe on the storage. So I believe this is the stream that I was having. And I think there was some caching problem on the preview URL, but you can see that this is the stream that I'm archiving right now. And the timer is actually jumping because it's a live stream. So you can see that if I'm on, I can rewind to the previous screen, and I can go live to the live position of a stream. And that's the URL that you're going to give to your user for this event. And so what I can do now is, what if I terminate this program I was talking about? So here you see the program currently is running, and I can actually stop the program. And this live stream that's saved in the blob storage will become a video on demand program immediately. So it probably takes a few seconds to stop the program. So you can actually have, say, a 24/7 a live channel running, but you can have preset up program, like say 9 to 10 is golf, 10 to 11 is swimming, 11 to 12 is some other sports, and you can stop them one by one once the event is over. So that's how TV channel manage their programs and channels. So now if we come back to this page, and you can actually notice that there is no more live button, because this URL becomes VOD seamlessly, that the player knows that right now is the VOD content. And you can see there is an infinite timeline here, about 1 minute, that which I'm live streaming for the demo. Okay, so that's all I want to show about live streaming. Are you guys happy with it? I'm actually really nervous, I have to say. And I do have backup channel, but you know, I'm not really, you know, happy if I use that. We are pretty confident about our live streaming service now, because that's also the service that behind a Sochi Olympic. I don't know whether you guys watched the hockey game between American and Canada. America lost, but that became the most viewed live streaming event in history, and that was hosted on national media services. So that's why I think I'm confident that the demo will work. And I think we come to the end of the presentation. I hope that you guys enjoyed. There is a happy hour going on at the same time. I'm really happy that you guys chose this one. And at the end, I just want to leave you with you guys some of the important information. I always say that the best way to learn is to get your hand dirty, and we give you the free money to try the service. There's a free trial. Do sign up and try the service. And if you have any questions, the best way to reach out to us is to either email me or to post on forum. So our engineer actually monitor the forum, and they will respond you immediately. And also, I have a blog, mingfeiwai.com. I regularly blog about new features and shipment that we have. So you guys can post questions or reach out to me. And I think that's all for my presentation. Thank you so much, and enjoy the conference. Thanks. Do you guys have any questions? Or we can chat after. Yeah, so Office 365, the video portal I was talking about, is only available in Office 365. But you can either, because I already tell you guys the building block, you can actually integrate yourself into SharePoint. There are partner solutions out there, like people already doing those things, which you can check out. Or I don't know whether in the future Office will make their API public or not for people to integrate with their on-premises solution. But I think that's definitely, if I were them, I will open up to those things. I believe there will be a lot of demand from on-premises SharePoint. Yeah. For different what? Sorry. Yes, I think that's also, so for PlayReady, they have like a template that you can define very, very detailed rules. I think geolocation might be one of the criteria there. They have like a huge booklet that you can read to define all these things. Oh, I think that might be some of the, we don't build that restriction in that high level. We only do IP range, as I mentioned. But I think it could be something in your player logic to detect where you are, and then you just stop the playing. Yeah. I think like some of the service I showed just now, when I show Blinkbox, because I'm not in UK, and it tells me that the video does not play in UK or something like that. Like it detect the player, but I have a demo account, so I got to play the video. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you, guys. Enjoy happy hour. I hope you guys still can grab something. And enjoy the conference. Thank you.